We are going to look at Job chapter 13, and I'm going to read the 13th verse, and follow along with me if you would, at Job chapter 13, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Hold your peace." This is Job speaking to his friends. Job says, "Hold your peace. Let me alone that I may speak. And let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hands? Though he slay me," speaking of the Lord, he says, "though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him," he says. "Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. Only do not two things unto me." So he speaks now to the Lord. Job is reading, he's speaking to God, and he asks God this request. "Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid." Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you, and I ask that you'd speak to our hearts today. We look to your word because we find life in it. So we pray that you would speak. Lord, we want to hear from your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The story is told of an elderly man who spoke at a banquet. As he came to the banquet, he says, "I know I am getting old because there are three things I don't remember. I don't remember people's names, I don't remember faces, and I don't remember what the third one is." There are three things he knew he was getting old. It reminds me of the preacher who came to a gentleman in the church, and he said, "You know, it's probably pretty important that you'd begin to think about the hereafter." Man says, "Oh, come on, I think about that all the time. I walk into a room and I say, what am I in here after?" You think about this reality that we... I was talking about Steve Stanton, I'm sorry. I get the shake of the head and I know I've got to go for it. The truth is that we think about a day like today, a day for us to remember, a day for us to stop and to think back on a time that was bigger than even the one we may currently be living in. The reality is that we are called today to remember. We have to remember. We have to remember that there have been wars fought. We have to remember that men and women have laid down their lives. It's essential for us to remember it, because we do not remember it, we forget it. If we forget it, we repeat it. We want to remember peace. We want to remember that we did not have peace just because it exploded out of nowhere and now we have peace. We have peace because someone gave themselves that we might have peace. We have peace because someone fought to defend our peace. We have peace because someone stood in between us and all that wished to steal peace, and we have peace. We enjoy it. Well, we recognize as believers, we recognize that peace didn't come to us even because of our government. Peace didn't come to us even because of our armed forces. These are instruments that are used to secure our peace, but our peace ultimately comes from the Lord. In fact, we recognize that we have unalienable rights of life and liberty and pursuit of happiness. These are things that God has given to us. These were not gifts to ourselves. These are not things that we have done for us. These are things that God gave, and then we get to enjoy them, and we get to chase after him because of these gifts. And if we're not careful, we begin to forget that it took a great sacrifice to secure us our peace. We forget that Jesus Christ gave himself for our peace with God. We forget that Jesus hung on a cross and poured his own blood out for you and for me so that we can be washed clean from iniquity and be made right with a holy God. We forget. And Job here in this passage recognizes that something must be remembered. Something must come back to the memory, because he recognizes that if he allows his three accusers to write out what history would say about him, if he allowed these three men to go over the story of Job and erase out all the spots where he faithfully served God, that there would come a day where people would remember Job, not because Job was a man who loved and feared God, but because of his sin, or because of his struggle, or because of the pain, and because of all the loss. And Job stops it. He stops in chapter 13, looking at verse number 13. He stops it all and he says, No, we are going to remember the truth. You don't get to just tell me that I did wrong, or that some bad thing has fallen on me because of my sin. I remind you, Job chapter 1, we find all of Job's earthly possessions and his family are obliterated, almost as if it happened in one stroke of the pen. Satan has removed every good thing that God had ever blessed Job with. It's all gone. Everything gone. His children, their lives snuffed out in a moment. And all that he has left is the wife who, I believe, maybe even in the mercy of her heart, says to Job, Job, just curse God and die. Job, at least if you cursed God, we could end this thing and the pain could be over. Because in chapter 2, we find out that Satan comes back, and not only does he remove all the good things that God had ever given to Job, he steals even his very health. Leaves him with sores all over his body and these boils that would have to be lanced. And the Bible describes that they would remove the marks, the skin, the buildup of the blisters would be removed with potsherds. It was the only relief he could find, was to scrape away the dead flesh where once it sat clean flesh. And Job, the remaining chapters is... In between chapter 2 to chapter 13, we find three friends step onto the scene, and their message is the same viewpoint that Job has. Job has this view of God. God is just. Therefore, God will always only do the just thing. That's his viewpoint. He even exclaims as much. But in the three friends, we find this one idea taken to its furthest extreme. We find the furthest extreme of Job's idea taken all the way out to the extreme of self-righteousness. If God is just, then that says something good about me. If I'm having a good day, then God must really like me. You can hear the self-righteousness, the piousness in that kind of viewpoint. And Eliphaz does a great job of eloquently putting just how good he is compared to Job. We find the sanctimony in it. If you take that idea of God is just and you stretch it all the way out, the sanctimonious, disgusting nature, as Zophar looks down at Job and says, well, you've done something wrong. Excuse me, it was Bildad. Bildad says, you've done something wrong, you horrible, disgusting creature. In fact, it was probably your own kid's sin that brought this on himself. This sanctimonious spirit, God is just, taken all the way out to its own end. God is just. It's a true saying, but it can also go to the furthest extent of impatience. Zophar says, just do it already. Just declare that you've done wrong. Just confess your sin before God. For crying out loud, you know you've done it. And in the face of all of this, chapter after chapter after chapter, the disgusting conversation these three men have had in the presence of Job, and Job says, shut up. Maybe not just like that, but very close to that. That was the whole idea. In verse number 13, he says, hold your peace. I'm done listening to you write the story, because I was there. You tell me I've done wrong, but I was there and I walked with God faithfully. I was there and I watched God bless my home. I was there with my children. You say they're the sinners, but I was there watching God bless their lives. I know that they had done wrong. And he finally just is fed up with everything they have to say. And I love in verse number 12, he looks at his job. We didn't read it, but I want you to read it now. In verse number 12, he looks at this job. Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. He says, your ideas, the way you remember things are so wrong that there is no history that could support it. It will blow away with the wind like ashes would. Your retelling of everything that happened is worthless because I was there and I know the truth. And so please hear me. I'm going to remember something for you. And so what Job does in the next couple of verses, in very quick order, he just remembers. He just remembers. He reminds himself of everything that is his because of God's goodness. He just remembers. But in it, he warns us, and I believe a warning we should take to ourselves. We cannot afford to forget. We can't. In fact, I think the greatest danger in your life and in my life, if I could be so bold as to say in the life of our country, is that we would dare to forget. We can't afford it. Our country cannot afford to forget how bad it had been and how good we have it. Our country cannot forget that there were men and women who laid their lives down so that we could have liberty. Our country cannot afford to forget that there are veterans because they have served us deserve our honor. They cannot. We must not, as a nation, forget. By the way, Job was telling the truth. But he tells of this danger because I believe he wants us to know the danger of forgetting is that we have to see that forgetting sets us in a downward spiral. If we dare to forget, we are going to start into a downward spiral we may never come out of. Listen to Job's downward spiral, right? In verse number 13 or verse number 14, you can look there. He says, "Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth?" This idea that he is going to actually bring pain upon himself. And he talks about this downward spiral. Verse number 14, it's my flesh. I take it in my teeth and I tear at my own flesh with my teeth. And then he says, "And then I take my life into my own hands." Well, bad enough when you wanted to kind of hurt yourself, Job, but now you're even going to take your life and risk your very life. You're even going to risk your very life. And then he says, though he should slay me. You see the downward spiral? It started with just pain, and then it found its way on down into actual risk and loss of life until finally he comes to this conclusion. He says, you know what? I may die in all of this. If I forget, I'm going to end up in despair. It'll all be over, and everything will be destroyed. And Job recognizes that this great conclusion is that even if this spiral all did happen, at the bottom of it all, we can trust in him. This is what keeps us from the downward spiral. The reason we have the liberties we have is because we can trust our God. The reason we have the things that we have in our life, our children, our families, our church, these are things that God has given to us. And because of his good giving, we can see that our trust is firmly placed in him, and rightly so. You and I have the ability to trust in the Lord today. And even if our life shows itself as a sign of trouble or a sign of danger, and even if it is a scary moment, I remind you that there is a God you can trust in this morning. And if you'll trust him, even if he slayed you, you could still trust him. God is trustworthy. And if we're not careful, we begin to forget. And the downward spiral is we get further and further and further away from the reality of God's goodness. You see, truth has a way of combating the lies that wish to steal our past from us. If someone can steal your past, they get to shape the future. These men all tell Job, you've sinned, you've done wrong, you need to get right with God. And they attempt to bend him to their understanding of the past. They're trying to bend Job, and they almost get him there. They almost break him. And by the way, we live in a world that does the same thing. We have political voices on one side that say this, and political voices on the other side that scream this, and ne'er do they ever get along. In fact, the ratings keep climbing the more crazy that they get. And one side always trying to shape the country, and the other one always trying to shape the country, and they get further and further and further and further away from what is best for our nation, not because there's this hunger, but because there is this lack of truth. If we would all just go back to the center and say, okay, let's just deal with truth. What does history say? What did we learn from this situation? What did we nail down from here? If we would get back to truth, there wouldn't be this mass division. Can I tell you, our country is in trouble, not because of some great moral failing, but because we don't have a truth anymore. We don't have the Word of God as an anchor for us anymore. If we get away from truth, anybody gets to write the story. They get to tell the story as if history was filled with the degradation that we see see in our culture today. No, that's not always the case. We have a really great story, and America has an amazing story. And for someone to tell it in a light that is sinful, or to try to tell it in some way that steals the courage and the gratitude of a nation for its men and women who've sacrificed, I think it's foolish that we would go down that path. And yet we have one side trying to tell the story of this group hates this group, and we hate this group, and we hate this group. Let's just get back to truth, and let's deal in what is true. And that's all Job is doing here. He says, your remembrances are like ashes that will blow away. And if we would just get back to truth, we could actually have something solid to build on. His danger, the reminder here, is that if we forget, we start into a downward spiral. We start in that spiral of tearing at our own flesh. What it is a picture of panic. He says, we begin to panic. We begin to hurt ourselves because we're running around with sharp objects. And we start panicking and we hurt ourselves. And even to the point that we can go even further, we begin to act. We act in drastic ways, and we begin to act in, frankly, traumatic ways. And we go from panic to begin to actually make it, we begin to risk things that matter. We begin to make changes that should never be made, but are only made because we're in this constant state of emergency and this traumatic place. He says, even though he slay me. He says, let's say that it gets to this. Can we not trust God? Can we not trust the Lord? And by the way, this is what happens, is we are going to come to the place where we begin to ascribe danger to the people who are there to help us. And we live in a panic culture now that is in this constant state of panic, and even to the point that they're running around in some crazy dramatic fashion. One side's always going, it's always going to be the election that we can never recover from. Have you noticed how many elections have we had like that? How many elections have we had that we shouldn't have been able to recover from, right? Truth is, we're still recovering. We're back and forth. We're moving back and forth. It's kind of a pretty balanced country. It can repair itself pretty quickly. You say, well, preacher, that talking head on TV said, this is the one. And if we don't get this one, then we have lost to the country. Yeah, they said that 8 years ago too. And they said it 16 years, and then they said it 21. And they've always been saying that. Why do we keep playing into the panic? Let's just get to the truth. The reality is we begin to make crazy actions because of panic. And what happens is we even get to the point where those who are meant to help us, we begin thinking that they're the enemy. Job had gotten to the place where he looked at God as if he was the problem. God wasn't the problem. It was the accuser. It was Satan that was the problem. But this is what happens when we forget. When we stop remembering, we begin to find each other at fault. We begin blaming the people who are there to help us. We begin blaming the people that we should be revering and loving and honoring, and they become the issue. What has happened? And nothing different than Job described. He just said, you get into a state of panic, we begin to act drastically, and then all of a sudden the people that we should be holding tight to, we push away because they're the enemy now. If we forget, we start into a spiral. We can't afford it. You see, forgetfulness, it starts a spiral, but forgetfulness steals our freedom. Can I tell you that freedom is still the essential thing? Freedom is still the essential thing. You see it in Job, and I don't want to drag it out. Look at verse number 20. Look at verse number 20 and look at Job. I'll just point it out to you. I want you to see it. He says, only do not two things unto me, then I will not hide myself from thee. Verse 21, withdraw thy hand from me. Withdraw it far from me. Usually when we talk about the hand of God, it's like we want his blessings. When you see people pray, Lord, in Bible, they'll say, Lord, let your hand move. That means, would you win this battle, right? Would you save that life? When you see God's hand move in the Bible, usually it's a sign of rescuing. But here Job says, man, get your hands off of me. Just get your hands off of me, Lord. I would be okay if you just get your hands off. Now, historically, we know what happened, don't we? God's hands weren't the one causing this problem. This was Satan. He says, remove thy hand far from me. In fact, he even says in verse number 22 and on. But he ultimately, verse 24, he says, and holdest me for thine enemy. He says, God, you've got your hand on me, and you're holding me here waiting for the enemy to come get me. You know what he was asking for? He's saying, Lord, if just take your hands off of me so I'm at least free. If I could be free, then at least I would have something. Now, one, historically, wasn't God whose hand was on him, it was Satan's hand. But the prayer was simple. Lord, would you let me be free? Even if you don't let me have anything else, if I don't have my health back, if I don't have my family back, if I don't have all my belongings back, if I just had liberty, I would be happy. Can I tell you, we've got to get back to that place. The error here, by the way, is highlighted in verse number 23. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Job said this, Lord, if you would just let me deal with my sin, I think you would let me free. I think if you would just let me deal with my sin, I could be free. Some of you are in that spot today. Some of you are bound in sin. You have secret sins that you can't tell anybody about. You're ashamed of. You wish you could deal with them. You know that you have a penalty looming over your shoulder because of a penalty of sin. And you live with this constant weight of guilt and shame all the time. Can I tell you that that's not God's doing? It's not. It's your enemy's doing. But can I also say, you could do business with God today about your sin. Before you left this place, you could do business with God about your sin and be free from sin. That's what the cross was all about. It was about setting you free from sin. Setting you free so that you weren't being held just waiting for the enemy. No, God's plan has always been that he would set us free. Jesus Christ came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, that you might have that freedom. And then look, thirdly, and we'll be done, forgetfulness leads us to fear. Forgetfulness always leads us to fear. Look at verse 21 with me again. Let not thy dread make me afraid. He goes on, he'll say, wilt thou break me? Or you have planned bitter things against me. That's what he says. Can I tell you? He knew that he could not keep going in a direction that was away from God and have the life he wished he could have. The life that he wanted, he knew. The life of joy, the life of peace that he was longing for was not in a direction opposing God. He knew he had to walk in line with God.